Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way. Podcast brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
I was punching out with a 5-iron all day, and I didn't even do that right.
This is the Fan's U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Don't wait for comfort with Area Heating and Cooling. Go to areaheating.com today, your local train comfort specialists. It's hard to stop a train.
It's U.S. Open Week on Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Hello.
Yeah, there's no Rob today.
Ahoy.
yeah, throw my ahoy
I'll
out there.
I'll go ahoy.
Someone has to what it do. Someone has to ahoy.
Yeah.
It is a Robless edition of Primetime today. It's a U.S. Open minus Isaac Rob, which is a little disturbing since that
considering
man.
Considering that's the golf guy.
Yeah, that's the golf guy. He literally just sits at home. He's like 1,000 years old. He just sits at home and watches the Golf Channel and like YouTube videos. Like, I'm a casual golf guy. Like, I'll watch the U.S. Open. I love the U.S. Open, you know, British. The PGA. PGA has
Does
to.
Does anybody really care about that one?
See, like, golf guy will get all pissy about it. Like, Rob will get all kinds of, you know, fired up about that and yell at you. And then golf guy will be like, well, PGA, it's just as valuable. No, it's not. It's like the Australian Open in tennis. Like, Wimbledon, yes. U.S. Open, the French, sure. But does anyone really care about the Australian Open? No. The answer to that question is no, unless you're from Australia. And even then, I don't think you care that much about it. It's like no matter what anyone tells you, there is a pecking order. Think about it. You don't have kids, but no. You have like do you have animals growing up?
Oh, growing up, yeah, of course.
Yeah, there's a hierarchy. You love all your animals, but if you think back on it, there's a favorite.
Oh yeah, Kelly.
Yeah, yeah, Kelly was your favorite,
yep.
Right?
She was my cat. Like, she grew to like me the most in my family. So, of course, yeah. She's my favorite.
Yeah. And parents will tell you this. You don't love your kids any more or less than the other one. But there is a pecking order. Even if you don't mean for there to be, there is.
Isn't the pecking order as a parent usually shifting and ever-changing as well?
Well, I suppose it can shift as they disappoint you and the financial burden shifts and whatnot. Like, this year I was going through my taxes and I let my oldest daughter, who just turned 21, I let her sit down with me and kind of go through taxes. And because I'm trying to teach her how to adult. It's like we're working on adulting and kind of cutting the cord a little bit. So I let her sit down and kind of see what everything is, and we have to total up her costs. So, like, you know, what her apartment in Chicago cost me, what the tuition. And then when I actually sat down and showed her that number, that's where, like, the balance shifts. Like, my other two kids think she's my favorite, but then when you see the financial burden of her in college and living away from home, that starts to shift.
Yeah.
And she kind of goes to the back of the pack.
Well, maybe she's still in the front of the pack, but it's a lot closer than it was.
You're right. There is an evolution there. But whether parents want to admit it or not, there's just, you get along differently with each individual. Like, if I asked you, which one do you like better, your mom or your dad? You probably can't answer that question. You can't say I love one more than the other, but there's one that you get along with more than the other.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. No one will admit it. No one will say it.
No, but I don't know. I get along with them in different ways, though.
But there's one that you get along with better. There just is. It's like when we talk about, there's the clip going around about Stephen A. Smith. Snoop Dogg asked him, does he like up tops or he likes the bottom? We talk about this. You can appreciate both, but you can only serve one master. And that's the same thing with your parents. You can love your mom and dad. You should love your mom and dad. But there is one that you will get along better. And if you're wondering which one it is, you just think about it. You're like, which one first pops into your mind, mom or dad? And I'm not asking you to say it because your parents listen. But if you're being honest with yourself, it's the truth. And I feel like that is, even like golf guy, if you polled golf guy and you said, if you could win one tournament, Which one do you win? No one says the PGA. It doesn't happen. You'll get the U.S. Open. You'll get the British. You certainly will get the Masters. I don't believe there's one golfer that ever grows up and it's like, man, if I could just win the PGA. And not that that's not a great honor.
Maybe that's the one for like the average to mediocre golfer who knows they stand no shot at winning the other three, but they want to win a major.
No, it's just as hard. And that's the thing. It's just as hard to win the PGA. The PGA can be, you know, at any of these other courses. You know, well, I guess it's not going to be at the British and it won't be at Augusta, but you could have the PGA at Shinnecock or you could have it at Memorial or wherever you want to put it. And it's still a major test. I'm not trying to poo-poo completely the PGA. I mean, hell, I'm happy if I break 100 in golf. I shoot like a 92, I'm ecstatic. So who am I to say that the PGA doesn't matter? I'm just saying that in the hierarchy, it's the bastard kid. It's the kid that maybe smells a little funky, the one that like lights fires, or the one that you have to worry about getting a call from the police at 2 a.m. Everyone has that brother. Everyone has that family member. That's the PGA. Not that you don't love them. Not that you don't support them. But let's be honest. You'd rather have the U.S. Open. And the U.S. Open is coming up. It starts tomorrow. In fact, we'll talk to Jason Sobel of the Action Network. Can I ask a question, Mike?
Go for it.
What is the Action Network?
I don't exactly.
Can we hash this out before Sobel, who used to be with ESPN?
Yeah, he used to be at ESPN, used to be at the Golf Channel, now Action Network. I've seen a couple of other bigger writers also have moved to this one. I think it's a new up-and-coming sports writing website, kind of like The Athletic. Not paid for, but in the same realm.
Now, when I say it, do I have to say Jason Sobel of the Action Network?
Yeah.
Is it like Extreme Doritos? There's some X's involved in it.
Why not?
Extreme. It's the Action Network.
You can say it that way. It probably works out.
Well, just when you told me that like Jason Sobel was coming on, I was like, oh, I'm Sobel, that's great. And then you're like of the Action Network. And I went, what? What the hell is the Action Network?
I got to see if I know there's somebody else that I follow who switched to that. So I got to see who I can find it. But yeah, they're trying to build themselves a little bit of a group of writers.
Okay. Well, Sobel will join us, 5:30? We'll talk about all things Shinnecock, and we'll see, you know, how that course is going to play, who he thinks is the favorite. Do you have a couple good groups, you know, going off of? Day one, we get, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, and Tiger Woods, right? I think they're one of the last groups to go off.
Yeah,
day one.
I think that is one of them, yeah.
Because I think the tourney starts at, like, 5 in the morning Pacific. Like, if you want to wake up, I mean, it's bright and early. Or I suppose if you just want to party all night.
You can wake up and watch both the World Cup and the U.S. Open at the exact same time.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll talk some World Cup today. We'll talk some U.S. Open. We've got some Major League Baseball that we'll get into, some news and notes from college football, some NFL stuff. I don't know if there's anything like groundbreaking today, but there is some decent news out there. So we'll kind of bounce around a little bit. And then if people are wondering, Rob is not on vacation. He's not in Vegas. Rob, well, he's got a boo-boo. He's got the sniffles, or maybe a sore throat. I don't know.
I don't know.
He hurt himself somehow.
He's sick somehow.
Well, we got the obligatory text. Like, Rob,
I didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't find out except for from you and our boss. He didn't even tell me that he might be out. Shows how much I matter. Yeah. There's the pecking order.
Well, you just found out you're the PGA of this radio station, Michael.
Yeah, I did.
This guy says, damn you, Zook, I just realized I'm the PGA championship of my family. Hey, so am I. I'm the PGA championship of my family. My brother's the Masters. Like, that guy can do no wrong. Everyone loves him. Me?
I thought your sister was kind of like just hanging around kind of at the edge.
Well, she is. But they like her better. And like, they kind of protect her. There's like, to me, if I'm doing it, my sister's like the British Open. There's like the course may not be as manicured and maybe quite as nice. The PGA purse is bigger than that of the British Open, but there's a reverence to the British Open. That's kind of the way my sister is viewed. She's like the nicest person in the world. She's like the best aunt to both of our kids. And she's just kind of, there's a reverence there for her. So she would be the British. Now, we only have 3 kids. So I guess, like, I mean, in theory, if you wanted to say like my dad or something was the U.S. Open, but I'm clearly on the bottom rung of the family. So yeah, I'm the PGA championship. So don't feel bad if you're the PGA. you just accept it and be happy. You got to, what is that? You got that big trophy. Is it the Wanamaker?
You're asking the wrong person.
I think it's the Wanamaker. Yeah, it's a big giant trophy. You get a big cup. I suppose you could drink out of it. So you got that going for you. I mean, it's no claret jug. It's not a green jacket, but you know.
It's not the Stanley Cup.
No, but I feel all right about it. I feel all right being the PGA. And Mike, you should be okay being the PGA championship of this radio show.
I am an only child, so I don't really have this problem in my family.
Oh, yeah.
I can be all of them at once. It's fine.
You get all the love.
Yeah.
All the love and caring.
Yeah.
All right. But no, Rob sent me a text message. I'm going to say about one-ish. And I got this one right here. In fact, you know, I'll just read it verbatim. And by the way, immediately I knew that Rob was not coming in.
It was at 1:10 that you sent me the text that you sent it to me.
So this came in at 12:52 from one Isaac Rob. Sorry for the short notice. I know that sucks. I'm headed to the doctor. I have a really bad sore throat and a few people who were at the grad party, I think Meat just graduated, his stepson, have strep now apparently. I'll get swabbed. Feel, but can power through. Game time decision. And immediately I saw this and I started laughing. I'm like, really? Power through? Game time decision? No. Because then I immediately sent you the email saying, hey, by the way, Rob is out.
You did say, Rob's out, probably.
Yeah, probably.
So let's see if we can line up some guests to help out for today.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
So reach out, see if you can find a golf guy, see if you can find maybe someone to talk about the World Cup. And then later on, Rob responded with, no strep, just viral, but going to be out today, going to fill some prescriptions now and hit the sack. Should be back tomorrow.
Mm. Should be.
Should be.
Okay.
It's a big should. It's a big question mark. Putting right up there. Just saying. Like when I got that text about can power through game time decision, going back to the family pecking order, it's like when my kids ask me if we can go somewhere and I drop one of these. Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe.
Maybe. Same sort of thing.
That means no.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, can we go see, you know, blah, blah, blah? We'll see. Maybe. That's what Rob gave me today. Hey, Rob, you coming in today? We'll see. Game time decision. No. There was no game time decision. Nice try. Rob had a pulled hammy and was going to try to play on it. He's Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Chris Paul doubtful for game six. I'm pretty sure we knew Chris Paul wasn't playing in game six. And if we're being honest, probably not game seven either.
Mm.
So Rob right now out for game six. And again, if we're being honest with ourselves.
We're going to say questionable for game seven.
Questionable with a big question mark for game seven. So we do hope he gets better. It's not strep throat, though. It's strep throat, according to him. So we'll see tomorrow. Then we'll get the text message. Hey, by the way, swab came back, got strep.
Mm. I'll be out until the next week.
Yeah, we got the over-under. It's long weekend, right?
Because
we're playing Chambers Bay this weekend.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, we did that for
fancy.
Yeah, we're the Kids Giving Special Olympics Radiothon.
There you go.
There's some people that that bid on that. So me and him and a couple listeners were going up. Something tells me that he will be fine for that.
Mm, probably.
That somehow, through the grace of God, or Tom Cruise or Buddha, he will find the intestinal fortitude to power through, find a way to make it up there.
Don't need your throat to play golf.
No.
No.
No, you don't. Fingers crossed. Where do you want to start? You want to go World Cup? You want to go U.S. Open? You want to go Major League Baseball? You want to go NFL? Mike, I will let you choose since you... Being the PGA of this and feeling disrespected.
Yes.
I will let you choose where we start this Ropless edition, this U.S. Open Ropless edition.
To me, the biggest news is the World Cup stuff.
Yeah, we talk about...
Let's start with the World Cup.
We'll talk about the World Cup because I don't know where... Speaking of like kind of hierarchies, I don't know what to do with the World Cup.
Okay.
Certainly not this year, but it's coming to our soil and it's actually coming within, two and a half hours of us. So I'm intrigued by this. I don't want to be anti-soccer guy. I'm not trying to be that. I just don't know where to put the World Cup. We'll talk about that in Russia and coming back to the United States. We come back primetime here on The Fan.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling.
On 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back in. Talking a little World Cup. Now, I said before we went to break that I wasn't certain what to do with the World Cup. Like, I understand that it's, I mean, it's the biggest event in the world. I mean, this is the Super Bowl, I don't know, times 10. This is the most watched event in the world. I mean, outside of Jesus coming back, you're not going to get more people to watch something than you watch the World Cup. But as an American, it's strange, especially with the United States not being in it. And this guy said, you put the World Cup where you put EDM music. It's okay for Euros, but we wouldn't riot if it was in Morocco. And we wouldn't have gone there either. Because, of course, we beat out Morocco. And now since 94, I think?
I don't remember the exact date of it. But, yeah, first time in a while.
So the World Cup starts tomorrow, and it's going to be in Russia. The 2026 World Cup is coming to North America. And I didn't know they were doing the joint venture, but I thought it was kind of cool. So it was Canada, the United States, and Mexico all got together, and they won the 2026 bid. So I was kind of doing some reading up on it today, and we were supposed to win the, what is that, 2022.
The one that's in Qatar,
however you want to pronounce it, which, by the way,
still should not be in that country.
No. By the time they get done constructing those stadiums, they're going to say between 4,000 and 5,000 slaves will have died building that thing. I don't know how. I mean, with all the outrage that goes on in today's, you know, political climate, and everyone's pissed about everything, how that story hasn't gotten more attention is beyond me. Like, we get that Russia probably paid FIFA and, you know, bribed them in order to get it in Russia. And there's some people that are skeptical this thing is going to go off without a hitch in Russia. But Qatar, it's not speculation. They bribed them. I mean, they bought the thing.
Yeah, didn't they find that there was a former member of FIFA who took money from the Qatar Federation whatever?
It's not a did it happen. I mean, they bought the damn thing. And we were supposed to get it. The United States was supposed to win it. So I think it was just between the North American, coalition now in Morocco, and there's no way they were giving it to Morocco. The North Americans won it in a landslide. So it'll be Mexico, the United States, and Canada. But back to the Qatar thing, I don't know if anyone has read any of the articles. I know HBO Real Sports did a piece on it. But, you know, I still don't know whether to call it Qatar or Qatar. I'm going to go with Qatar because Qatar sounds weird to me.
It does sound weird, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going with Qatar. So basically what Qatar is doing at this point is they're going into like Yemen, and Yemen's like one of the poorest countries in the world. There's no jobs, and they're like putting up advertisements in Yemen for construction workers and saying, hey, come here. We'll house you. We'll pay you a nice wage. You can send some of the money back home. And they're making it sound like, hey, you know, this is a great opportunity for you. So they're bringing the people over to Qatar. They're taking away their passports or visas, their ability to leave. And they're not paying them, and they're making them live in absolute squalor.
Like the smallest rooms, kept up.
Yeah, well, it's basically just like cement bunkers with no toilets, like people like going to the bathroom in buckets, no showers, no safety regulations, people working outside in 120-degree heat for up to, they're saying, between 16 to 18 hours a day on some of these things. No safety regulations as far as, safety standards on the construction site. And they're saying that by the time it's done, more people will have died in the construction of these stadiums than in 9/11. I mean, it's just, it's absurd to me. We're in a handful of years here, in four more years, we're going to be watching the World Cup, and it will be on the back of thousands of dead slaves.
Well, I do want to say this, and maybe this has changed. This was a while ago that I read this, but they were at least looking at finding a new place to play it. And quickly.
Yeah.
A place that had the infrastructure ready. They didn't need to build stadiums. So I'm assuming a European country that has stadiums for an entire soccer pyramid that's in their country already, that they could just quickly change to, like, say, France, for example, instead of Qatar. I haven't heard any updates on that. I may have just not been reading up on it, but I know that they were saying that they were looking at backup plans in case this doesn't work out. And part of the thing too, and I know this is way less important than the stuff that you're talking about, but the weird thing about it is that if it is in Qatar, they're going to have to play it in December, which screws up everybody's regular season.
Because it's like 1,000 degrees
right.
When you want to play it now. Like if you play the thing in June and July.
Which is when it's always played.
8 million degrees there. They're saying that the heat index there. So think about like wind chill, right? Same thing with heat index, with humidity and all right. That.
It's the feels like.
It feels like. Could be somewhere in the 140-degree change when this thing kicks off if you play some of these during the day. And last time I checked,
is that even in December too? Or is that because they're saying they're going to put it in December?
Yes, that's the I haven't seen what it's like in December. They're saying if you played it when it was supposed to go down, that you could have a heat index of 140 plus there.
Sounds safe.
Yeah.
Totally playable conditions.
Because who doesn't want to play in 140 degree heat? Oh, and then by the way,
you're running for 90 straight minutes, basically.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, the stadium that you're running in was built by slaves.
Yes.
And, you know, murdered slaves.
You're, you're on a burial ground.
It's no big deal.
So, but for those who don't understand, almost every major country, their soccer season goes from August to April-ish. So the World Cup is perfect because it fits in the summer when it's in the off season. But if they move it to December, all of these major leagues are going to have to take over a month off, which to me, imagine like in the NFL, they're like, oh, we're going to take a month off now just because we're going to go play at some international competition.
Hockey did it for the Olympics.
They did. And then they stopped doing it.
They stopped doing it.
But it's weird.
I just, the World Cup to me is like I said, it's strange in that like it's being held in Russia and I'm not trying to play like moral high ground here. We've got our own stuff to deal with, but it is strange that that's in Russia and you know, it's run by a president that murders people that don't like him and that speak out against him. And I don't know if you've seen some of the concerns there. I hope that nothing bad happens. But have you seen like some of the stadiums that they've built there? People are concerned that there's an old landmark that they've turned into one of the main stadium where they're going to host the finals. And in order to accommodate the size of it, they just removed a wall and they built like this 150 foot basically grandstand.
Oh, that also sounds totally safe. I'd love to sit at the top of that.
Oh, have you seen some of the photos from it? It's terrifying. I was reading an article just the other day about it saying like if you have a fear of heights, don't go to the main stadium that the World Cup is going to be played in. And up until just a couple weeks ago, people were concerned about like high winds and these temporary bleachers. They basically just built 150 foot high temporary structure on the side of this stadium, and they're going to cram thousands upon thousands of people up into this thing. And when they asked like the main guy who's kind of in charge of it over there, this was just on Wednesday. This is the sports minister was asked if spectators overcome with passion might have reason to worry about jumping up and down from their seats when they're that high up in some bleachers that haven't really been tested. He smiled and said, "These stands are made of the famous Urals metal." Does anyone really want to trust the world famous Russian steel to be built? It's just it's like this weird sort of thing when it comes to the World Cup.
I found a picture of it. Half the seats are going to be blocked by the roof that already exists in the stadium.
Yes. They just removed, I guess this is some sort of famous landmark stadium there in Russia, and they just took out one of the walls and built like temporary bleachers that are above the roof line of the building.
Yeah, you can't see the game from that.
No. Do you really feel comfortable standing on top of that? You're going to have 30,000 people jumping up and down on that thing. My first thought is, my God, I hope that thing doesn't collapse. So it was weird as the World Cup is approached and I've kind of read more about it. The whole Russia thing and the Qatar or Qatar, both of these, I just scratched my head and I'm like, how is the biggest event in the world in these two places? Like of all the places you could hold it, this is where it ends up. Just seems strange to me.
I don't think it's that strange that it's in Russia. I mean, not that we saw the best things, but Russia did hold the Winter Olympics recently. And,
and that went off so well.
Well, I know, I'm saying not that we saw the best things, but they certainly have the capacity to build stadiums. And obviously they have their own soccer league that they can already host games in. So.
Yeah. So it kicks off tomorrow. We're not involved in it.
No.
Go, I don't know, Spain? Although Spain, we can talk about that too. Well, I'm chock full of World Cup news.
Let's keep going.
Yeah, because
the U.S. won the bid. We haven't even talked about that yet.
Yeah, we haven't got to the U.S. because I think this is kind of cool. And Spain fired their coach for seemingly no good reason, and they were one of the favorites.
Right? I didn't even see that.
You didn't see that?
No.
Mike, you're Soccer Mike.
Well.
How am I Soccer Souk?
Because you did the research for this, and I have just been following the World Cup from afar. Okay. I'm going to watch the game tomorrow morning. When I start watching that, that's when all my information is going to come, because I'm going to be like, oh, I got to dive into the World Cup now.
Oh. I'm ready. Like the last week or so, I've been reading a bunch about the World Cup, and it's a little disturbing.
Okay.
But we'll talk about, when we come back, I want to talk about what happened in Spain, and then the North Americans getting the World Cup in 2026, and whether or not we should care about it, because I do. I think it's going to be kind of cool. I will make an attempt to go see a World Cup game, because it is, it's not going to be in Portland, but it is coming to a city very close to us. And then maybe I'll get Soccer Mike's hot take on who I should be rooting for in the World Cup that kicks off tomorrow. Primetime here on The Fan. Here is Soccer Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling.
On 1080 The Fan.
It is a U.S. Open edition. We're talking a little World Cup. I did look up the Qatar's temperature right now, because the World Cup kicks off tomorrow. The 10-day forecast, on average, 109 degrees over in wonderful Qatar right now.
Today in Vegas, it was 108, so...
Yeah, maybe it's a dry heat.
We got something going.
It was 104 when I was on the Colorado River.
Yeah, it was hot down there, but it wasn't, it didn't feel that hot. I don't know, it was weird. I walked around a lot on Saturday and it was like 104 degrees and I barely sweat. I thought it was the weirdest thing. I sweat a lot. I am a big guy and I barely sweat.
So you like the dry heat?
I'd prefer it not to be that hot, but it was much better than humidity, yes.
See, I've kind of grown to not mind humidity as much. I don't know why.
You like to walk into a blanket of heat when you step out of your door?
It
just envelops you. It's
if I'm on vacation, I guess it'd be different if I lived there. Because when I lived in Florida, it was awful. Like if you walked outside and you had to be wearing, you know, shorts or jeans as opposed to shorts, or you're wearing like a suit jacket or something, that to me is miserable. But like when I go on vacation, we were like in Southeast Asia. We were in Bali, Indonesia. It was hot as you know what. And I don't know, it was like 90 degrees at 95% humidity. And I don't know, there's something about being on vacation if you're by a pool or you're in shorts or a tank top or whatever that I don't mind. But if you are going to have to be like in a day-to-day environment, then yes, the dry heat is certainly, it's preferred.
Yeah.
So it was 104 and we're in that canyon.
That probably collects the heat too, doesn't it?
And the wind blowing at you, it was a little bit like an oven. Like the first day we were on the river and it was a really strong headwind, which sucked because when it was really blowing hard, no matter how hard you paddled, you just weren't going anywhere. But if you stopped paddling, it blew you backwards. So that first day was kind of rough, but it felt like you were in like a convection oven. That just like this hot wind was blowing at you. And so we were like, hey, you know what? Maybe we take a dip, but the water was like 45 degrees. So if you did get hot, you just kind of stuck your hand down in the water and threw some on you or splashed yourself, and it wasn't that bad.
That makes it nice and convenient then. That's good.
Yeah. So World Cup starts tomorrow, and then the big news out of today is the North Americans got it. So the United States, Canada, Mexico, but essentially we're the host. So the joint bid plan calls for 60 of the 80 games to be played in the United States, including all the matches from the quarterfinals onward. And the final is going to be, it's expected to be played at MetLife Stadium in New York City. And that's where the women's one was played, right? The Brandi Chastain, or was that played out in New York, or was that the Rose Bowl?
Ooh, I don't know if that was MetLife. I mean
MetLife wasn't built back then.
It didn't exist. It would have been Giant Stadium.
Would have been Giant Stadium, or what, the Meadowlands?
Yeah.
I for whatever reason, will you look that up for me? That's going to drive me nuts. And I will say that the Women's World Cup always grabs me a little bit more than the men's. And it's not like I'm not saying that for like a hot chick factor. I just think the fact that we're relevant in women's soccer to me ropes me in a little bit more than you know, being an afterthought.
That was at the Rose Bowl.
That was at the Rose Bowl. I couldn't remember if that was East or West. But you know, that's the only soccer game that I've ever watched start to finish.
Ever?
On TV. I mean, I've been to some Timbers games, and lived in Europe, I got to see some World Cup qualifiers. I saw a couple friendlies. I saw Celtic Rangers, which is like, I guess
that's one of the biggest rivalry in Ireland.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Or Scotland.
Yeah, I mean, they're just it's insane. Armed guards split the stadium, and you have to enter exit. It's freaking nuts. But yeah, as far as a TV game goes, that's the only soccer game that I ever sat down and was like, I'm gonna watch this start to finish. I was in college. I was at BYU. And you know, they were in the finals and some people wanted to come over and watch it. And I had a big TV. So I was like, yeah, let's all sit around and watch it. And that turned out to be obviously a huge game. And, you know, overtime or the penalty kicks, shirt comes off. And that was cool. And that was supposed to be the one that kind of like roped you in. But
you didn't watch the 2014, the U.S. Belgium game that went to extra time and was like the U.S. got out of the group and they played Belgium. It was one of the top teams at the time.
I've seen it.
You didn't watch it from start to finish when it was happening?
No, I remember watching USA and Ghana played a big game. I remember
In the group stage.
I watched part of it, but to actually sit down and say, hey, I'm going to watch this start to finish. No, I think that's the only one.
Okay.
And like, I don't mean to be like a soccer turd. I don't hate soccer. It just, you know, I didn't grow up with it. It doesn't grab my attention. I don't find it all that interesting. But going to live games is fun. I've been to a couple Timbers games and it's great. That environment completely ropes me in and I never get bored. It's like, I never get bored going to a live soccer game. All those games in Europe that I went to and any of the Timbers games, and I haven't seen anything other professional in the United States other than that. I've seen a collegiate game or two, like BYU will come play UP, something like that. You take your kids to it. I'm never bored at a soccer game live, but soccer on TV has just never roped me in. But with the World Cup, it's different because I know it's a big deal and I like spectacles. If you tell me that something is important and it's major, I'll find myself gravitating to it. This year without the U.S. being in it, it's been a little of a soft buildup for me. I'm waiting to see if something will grab me, but when it comes here in 2026 and some of these games will be played in Seattle. So they had a huge list of cities and there'll be a handful in Mexico. I think there was only three. It was Guadalajara,
Mexico City and Monterey
were the three. And then there was Toronto, Edmonton
and Montreal.
And
it was just three in Canada.
Just the three. Vancouver wasn't in it.
I don't think so.
So there was three, maybe just all on the East Coast, and there was in Seattle. And
now the U.S. list hasn't been fully pared down yet. It's going to go down to 16.
Yeah.
From the 25 it is. So, I mean, I guess technically Seattle could lose it.
I think
they'll probably get it.
I think on the West Coast and how passionate they are. And here in Portland,
and they've
too.
Got CenturyLink. They can house a huge crowd.
And the reason it's not coming to Portland is just simply that we don't have the venue for it. We don't have the size. And you could play it down in Eugene, but again, that's not going to be in a major city. So Portland just doesn't have an outdoor place. Otherwise, I think maybe, you know, Portland could throw its hat in that ring. But I'm assuming it's going to come to Seattle. They were one of the cities, and yes, they are going to pare it down. But I would think that they're going to spread some of these games around. And if there is one in Seattle and that is an affordable ticket, I'll go $100. $100, I'll go see a game in Seattle at the World Cup in 2026.
All right.
I'm not going to pay two. I'm not going to pay $300. Maybe I can get like a media pass, something like that. Maybe I can weasel my way in that way. And I'm sure I won't be. It'll be a crappy seat. If you've ever sat at the top of that stadium, it's a horrible view. Like if you've ever gone up there for a Seahawks game or anything and you've had to sit at the top, it's terrible. Like but the fact that it is a spectacle and it's coming to the United States and it's the best in the world, especially if we get like a good group, if you tell me that
we have to qualify for it first.
Well,
but assuming that the U.S. qualifies.
But even if you don't get the U.S., I'm saying like if a team in Seattle, if you tell me that like Brazil or Germany or Spain, because I know the traditional powers, right? Like that if you tell me that one of those teams is playing in Seattle and I got to go see that team. And again, if it's not an arm and a leg, cause it's going to be a crappy seat, I'll go check that out. I would love to say that I was at a World Cup game. I wouldn't travel necessarily to go see a World Cup game. Although, you know, maybe that would be the ultimate spectacle to be in a city that's housing the World Cup final, like an international city. I can only imagine what that scene must be like. Like a party of all parties.
I mean, I guess you could try to figure out a way to get to New Jersey for it. And, I mean, it's not an international city. It might not be the same buzz. Yeah. But I'm thinking a lot of the fans of those countries that are in the World Cup final will flock to New York, first of all, and to go see that match. But I'm with you, man. I saw this story and I got really, really excited because I didn't used to like soccer. So, I mean, I was alive when the last World Cup happened, but I was pretty young anyway, but in the U.S. I didn't used to like soccer, but now that I've grown into a soccer fan, the fact that we can watch it in our own cities that we've been to, and we have a chance potentially to go to a game, or that the U.S. could be in the World Cup, or hopefully will be in the World Cup that year, and get to play at home, which gives them such a big advantage, because they are already disadvantaged against some of the big powers in the world, like you're talking about Germany, Brazil, et cetera. But to give them an advantage and maybe see them advance further than they've ever gone before, or at least that we've seen in a long time, I think that'd be amazing. And I think that right there would be a huge opportunity to gain soccer fans in the U.S. that are watching casually.
So people are saying that the host countries get automatic bids.
Oh, that's right.
So yes, we're in.
Hooray! Well, but how does that work with the three? Because Mexico and Canada are also host countries.
Well, then maybe all three get bids.
You know what I did read? That might be true. They're expanding the World Cup field.
Yes.
Maybe then all three do get automatic bids.
Suck it, rest of the world. We're coming whether we're good enough or not.
Thank you for the correction, text line. USA. I'm an idiot.
USA. When we come back, I do want to touch upon something you just did. USA! You talked about roping in other soccer fans. Mm-hmm. I want to explore that avenue. When we come back. Believe it or not, a World Cup first hour of primetime. See what happens when Rop leaves? We get Soccer Mike and Soccer Souk.
Can we start calling you Soccer Souk?
Well, if Rob can have hot hockey takes, why can't I have hot soccer takes?
Yeah, but you're having real soccer takes, not sumo wrestler goalie takes.
I'll say this. Of all the major sports that are out there, I know far and away less about soccer than any other, and it's not even close. I'm not saying I'm an expert at anything. I think obviously I have a fairly decent knowledge of football. Rules and regulations and strategies, if you will. Follow baseball, follow hockey, try to follow the NBA the best you can. Soccer, God, I'm not even going to try to pretend that I know what the hell is going on in soccer. Hey, you, kick the ball that way. Give it to little Argentina guy. Let him go. Give it to that Messi guy. He seems to be pretty good.
Soccer, if you ever find yourself interested in the game, or if you're a listener out there, soccer tactics are really, really interesting.
Like once every 3 years, I get like a really FIFA intricate soccer game, like on Xbox or something. And that's about all my soccer strategy. I just play the attacking style. Everyone forward.
Yeah. You just
push forward.
You pass it to the really fast wingers because they're faster than everybody else.
And hold down turbo and away I go.
You run and then you cross the ball in, get automatic goals because FIFA's a terrible soccer football game.
Oh, soccer Mike colliding with video game Mike.
All right. FIFA sucks, and I want it to be good, but it sucks.
More hot FIFA sucks talks when we come back. Primetime here on The Fan.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling.
On 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back into 1080 The Soccer. Hot soccer talk pretty much all hour long. World Cup kicks off tomorrow. The U.S. essentially, along with Canada and Mexico, but really, like, they're their shoes in the hat. The main body is the United States. We get 60 of the 80 games, including all the games from the quarterfinals on.
Do you think that Mexico and Canada go, wait, we only get 10 games each? And they're all in the group stage?
That's to them. Just be happy that you're involved, all right, Canada? I mean, Mexico, there's
especially if they get to play because they're a host country. Canada's soccer is not good.
Yeah, like Mexico, maybe they got screwed out of the deal a little bit because there's a rich tradition there and they got a pretty decent team from my understanding. But Canada, just be happy, Canada, that you're riding our coattails once again. Stupid Canada. I actually like Canada.
I was going to say, Canada's great.
Canada's like the nicest people in the world. But you kind of brought up that you think that this will, you know, kind of re-energize the U.S. soccer. I feel like
I said I hoped it would.
I feel like this whole the U.S. soccer fever thing, it's like finding Bigfoot. Like every one of those shows promises, like on the Discovery Channel, that they're gonna find Bigfoot. Like Rob Lowe and his kids are out looking for Bigfoot. Let me tell you, the show ends the same way every time. They don't find Bigfoot. It's just if they were gonna find Bigfoot, they would have found him by now. I have honestly heard for I think my entire adult life that soccer in the U.S. is about ready to take off. That it's going to be a boom, right? From when I was a little kid, the numbers, soccer, it's the number one youth played sport. And then
isn't that still true too?
It probably is. Like everyone plays soccer when you're a little kid, right? I mean, that's what you do. It's like the very first sport you play. And then No, the new one is no one will play football anymore. So they're going to have to play soccer instead. Well, that's great. Kids will play soccer when they're young, and then they'll get to high school and realize that they want to be cool and popular, so they'll play football. Like, just this notion that somehow the World Cup is going to change your opinion on it, it is just, it's like saying the NFL is going to take over the rest of the world. It won't. The NFL is never going to be big in Brazil. It just, it's not. It's a cultural thing that goes back hundreds of years. And I mean, and I guess in our country, the sports doesn't go back quite that far because we're not that old of a country and neither is the sport. But you're, I just, this notion that somehow if our U.S. team does something or that we host the World Cup, that this is going to be the thing that kind of like we're on some sort of precipice and this is going to be the thing that shoves our fandom over. It's just, to me, it is absolute fool's gold. I told you that back when I was what, 20, 21 in college, was that 90, when was the Women's World Cup?
99?
99-ish, 2000,
99 somewhere. Was the year.
99.
The one you're talking, Brandon Chastain?
Yeah, the Brandon Chastain one, right? Yeah. And I'll tell you, I like women's soccer more than I do men's. It's kind of like women's tennis. I found myself gravitating more towards women's tennis than I do men's. But like that game, I sat down and really enjoyed it. Now it helped that, you know, we had women over and we were trying to impress them, but still I had a good time watching that game, had a better time after the game, but I digress. That roped my attention and it got me at no point watching that was I bored, and I got caught up in it too. How great was it? You couldn't have a more iconic moment for U.S. soccer. And I get that it was women's, not men's, but you couldn't have a more iconic moment, right? In all of soccer, overtime, penalty kicks, kicks it, rips off the shirt. One of the most famous photographs of all time. What did that do for soccer?
Not much.
It didn't change. It didn't change me. And I was young and impressionable.
Look,
I'm 40 now. I'll turn 40 this year. I'm more salty and set in my ways than ever.
I'm 40.
Not quite, but I'm getting there. You had a chance to get like young, like 19, 20 year old Sook back when you could have like, I was actually probably pliable and moldable.
Okay, but
it didn't do it.
Here's the thing. You, yes, but I'm the opposite example. I had no interest in soccer, really. I never played it beyond maybe one season in the youth, and I played goalie, and I sucked at it. So I had no interest in that. I didn't care about the MLS. I didn't care about European soccer. I barely cared about the World Cup unless the U.S. was playing. And then in 2014, I got roped the bleep in to the World Cup. I was so sucked in that I went, you know what? I know the Premier League is on NBC Sports when the season starts in August. I'm going to watch. And that started a soccer fandom for me. I bought FIFA for the first time ever. I watched the Premier League. I watched the MLS. I played FIFA. I watched the World Cup. And a new soccer fan was born. So for every one of you, maybe for every 10 of you or 100, there might be one of me. And the reason I say maybe this will be a difference is you're right that people have said soccer is about to pop for a long time. But in reality, the MLS and soccer in the U.S. is in a really, really solid spot right now. There's a lot of talent coming out of the U.S.
Because we didn't make the World Cup.
I know. But
And did anyone care?
I think a lot of people cared. The actual state of the MLS is in a better spot. We got a new coach, and that's 8 years from now. So in 8 years, when maybe soccer has grown even more, and then you have a bunch of people who live in this country going to see the games, that's why I said it could certainly increase the viewership for soccer moving forward. That's a lot of time in the future, and soccer has been growing pretty rapidly over the last, what, 6, 7, 8 years in terms of viewership here in the country. So
you realize that, like, the MLS gets no ratings. Like,
I'm not
none.
Talking about the MLS specifically. I'm none. Just saying soccer is getting more viewership.
We'll see. Like I said, when you find Bigfoot. And look, I'm not poo-pooing soccer. I don't want to be anti-soccer guy. But already I'm getting the, oh my God, stop talking soccer. If we try to talk Timbers on the program, people would show up here with torches and burn the place down. And we're a sports show. I've been doing this for 15 years. I said, I'm open to the idea. I'm not going to be a knuckle-dragging Neanderthal that says soccer is dumb or that it's because it's not important to me, it's not important to anybody. Far from it. Timbers do a great job. Love the Timbers. Go Timbers. I'll believe soccer becoming a big deal when I see it. When we call it the Big Five instead of the Big Four, let's be honest, it's the Big Three. I mean, hockey is barely on the outskirts of the Big Four. And and the MLS, you look at salaries and revenue and TV deals, it's not even in the ballpark of hockey. I don't know, maybe in 20, 30 years, I'm tired. My whole life I've heard that soccer is coming for the NBA. It's coming for Major League Baseball. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I'm open to it, but I'm not sold on it. That being said, 2026, you get a game in Seattle, I'm going. Within reason.
Okay.
Not paying $300 for that. All right, Mike, Choose Your Own Adventure continues. This is going to be a Mike Lynch-led show. We can talk.
I'm sure the listeners love that.
We can talk NCAA, Major League Baseball, or NFL.
Let's go NFL.
All right. Some NFL news and notes when we come back. Primetime here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.